Hey, it's Michael, and this is the Kintsugi Podcast. I'll be back in a minute with this week's conversation about resilience. But first, if you wish to create a better life and have a better career, then please visit michaelobryanshift.com and download your free workbook on how to create a better life. In it, you'll discover ways to find more energy for the things and the people who matter most to you so you can create a better tomorrow. Hey there, my fellow like-hearted humans. It's Michael, and this is the Kintsugi Podcast, where each week we come together, we share stories of connection, of inspiration, of healing, and we celebrate our golden symbols of our strength. We celebrate our scars, our blemishes, our wrinkles, our gray hairs, all of it, because they all tell a story that we're living this thing called life. And we acknowledge that this thing called life is a collection of moments. Some moments are joyous, others are really difficult. But we find a way through. And as we do, we put a beautiful ripple into the world that not only leads to a fulfilling life, but it also lifts others up because we believe we go far together. And speaking of going far, once a month, I share a different type of episode with you. It's called Open Awareness. And they're about stories from my bike ride across America with my wife, who drove our RV called Maisie, along with her two co-pilots, our two dogs at the time, Jester and Hope. We've added a third, her name is Story, and our two cats, Jens and Finny, stayed home. What can I say? We love humans and furry creatures. I like to say, as I pause, P-A-U-S-E, breathe, reflect, they pause, P-A-W-S, breathe, reflect. Our trip was awesome sauce, and if you've been listening to the Kintsugi Podcast since the beginning, you know we started in wonderful Astoria, Oregon, my wife's home state, and I've already shared some stories from that wonderful place on this big blue marble that we all share. We traveled into our own little private Idaho to reference the B-52s. We went into Montana, and last month I shared stories from our travels through Wyoming. And now, I want to take you to colorful Colorado. But first, let me share a little bit more about why we call it open awareness. For those familiar with mindful meditation, you know there's a practice called fixed awareness. That's what we usually think of when we think of meditation. We fix our attention on something. Usually, it's the breath, although it can be a feeling or a sensation in the body. It can be our soundscape, which is a beautiful practice to do. With open awareness, we open up to, well, everything. As opposed to placing our attention and fixing it on one particular thing, we open up. We open up to all of what life is. It's a really wonderful practice. And even my bike's brand name is called Open. And that's how I saw this ride. Open awareness. Opening myself up to all of it. And this is why I call these segments open awareness. Because that's how we live life. And we can live life mindfully. Open to all of it. The great moments and the not so pleasant ones, we can have a bit of neutrality because everything is neutral until we label it, and we can experience all of life, even the muddy parts. All right, that's the backstory on why we call these segments open awareness. Now, let's get to Colorado. We'll start with a question, because it's good to be curious. So here's my question for you. When you think of the state of Colorado, what comes up for you? We'll play a little word association game. One of the first things you might think of would be the Rocky Mountains. You might think of skiing or evergreen trees or killer green buds or sports. You might think of the Broncos or the Rockies or the Nuggets. Well, when I think of Colorado, I think of cycling. So it wouldn't be much of a surprise to say I was pretty pumped up about traveling through Colorado. We'd head into the Rockies, up the Hoosier Pass, down into the eastern part of Colorado, off to Pueblo, and then we would travel into Kansas. But unfortunately, the first 2 out of 4 days that we'd be in Colorado were not pleasant at all. In fact, during the first 2 days, I was the most scared I had ever been riding in traffic. And that's saying something, because I ride my bike in New York City and around New Jersey and a whole bunch of different places. But those first 2 days in Colorado terrified me, and I'll share more in a bit. So here I am, traveling through Wyoming, a pretty windy state. I'm not sure if I mentioned that last month, with wide shoulders. So I'm coming to Colorado, and I see the sign, "Welcome to Colorful Colorado." And I am so excited. I'm like, this is going to be so much fun. And the shoulder I was riding on in Wyoming, that was about 3 feet wide, which was pretty cushy. I felt really safe. As soon as I crossed into the state of Colorado, it narrowed to about 5 inches. Nowhere to go. And the speed limit on this country road was about 45 miles an hour. It may have been 50, but I have a plus 10 factor that I put on every road. Whatever the speed limit is, I add 10 miles an hour because I believe most people, I put myself in the category of most people, drive close to 10 miles over every speed limit. Now, luckily, there wasn't a lot of traffic in that part of Colorado, but when someone passed me, and it usually was a pickup truck or a big, huge truck, it didn't pass me with much clearance. But luckily, the back light I had on my bike, which is a Garmin radar, they are not a sponsor of the Kintsugi podcast. But when I think about all the different things I've bought that are cycling related over the many years that I've been riding my bike, the Garmin radar is absolutely the best thing that I've ever bought. Head and shoulders above anything else, except maybe my road ID. Now, a lot of people, because of my experience in cycling, will ask me, if I had to buy a gift for a cyclist, what should I buy her or him? And I would say a Garmin radar light or a road ID. The Garmin radar light would give me an indication when someone was coming up behind me, so I had some advance notice. But it was still scary. Keep in mind, the way we did the ride, my wife wasn't right behind me, except when big storms were coming. And as I continued to ride on this first day, heading towards Kremlin, Colorado, I could see a major storm brewing. And the way to Kremlin was up a big mountain, because you have big mountains in Colorado. You had to pass over the Continental Divide one more time. I think I had to get up to about 8,900 feet. And as I was climbing, up to this mountain, I could see the thunderstorm, lightning, boomers, all of it. And my wife was waiting for me at the very top. And once I got there, the skies opened up. So instead of cycling down the mountain in this massive thunderstorm, I decided to get into the RV. One of our principles on this ride was safety. We were going to be smart because we had the luxury of doing this. So I got in the RV and down the mountain we went. But as we're traveling down the mountain, a whole bunch of cars coming up the mountain were flashing their lights at us. And we were trying to figure out, why are they doing that? Maybe they just like the RV because we had decorated it with Ripple kindness and Ripple love and messages around the importance of pausing, breathing, and reflecting and all that jazz. But that's not why they were flashing their lights at us. We got to a certain point and the whole road was washed out. What I discovered on this trip is because of the climate crisis and the planet heating up and all the wildfires, those trees that unfortunately are no longer there because of the fires, they were essential in helping the ground basically stay together. So they helped absorb moisture and rain. And so when you would get big rainstorms, it was very easy for things to wash out, as they did that day. As we got closer, we found a turnaround point and we discovered that a big 18-wheeler was trying to do a K-turn. Think about that for a minute. That is one hard K-turn. He's on this relatively small country road. The road's washed out. You can't get through. And he's trying to turn that big rig around. I'm sure he was able to get it done, but still, I would not want to be that driver. So we turned around. And in order to get to Kremling, we had to do a 100-mile detour to get to our RV park. We eventually got there. We enjoyed a lot of time just road tripping in Colorado. The next day, I was due to ride from Kremling to Breckenridge. And we were going to meet up with our friends Kristen and Terry, who have a place there. We were going to crash at their house, have a home-cooked meal, and everyone was excited. And as a bonus, and who doesn't love a bonus, our good friend Andrew was going to come out from Boulder and ride with me. Up to that point, I didn't pedal with anyone. I was all by my little lonesome. But I was having a good time. So here it was. This day was going to be a great day. We would have company on the road. We'd meet up with our friends Kristen and Terry. Awesome, right? However, and you know, nothing good comes after someone says, however. My good friend Sasha, who knows Colorado well, as I was planning this route, said, that road from Kremling to Breckenridge, or really Kremling until you can get on the bike path in Silverthorne, is super sketch. I don't think he said sketch. That's my word. He's like, you might want to pick a different route, go off the beaten path, get off of that road because it's wicked dangerous. And I was like, but that's the route. And I decided to stay with it. And as I started that morning, things weren't that bad. I was like, Sasha was making a big deal over nothing. Silly Sasha. Until the rest of the world woke up and that road got super busy. And as I've mentioned before, no shoulder. So I had about 5 inches. But the interesting thing about this stretch of Route 9, they also had those metal guardrails. So there wasn't any way to like ditch over if a whole bunch of traffic was coming. And traffic was coming. That Garmin radar was blinking and beeping at me the entire time. There were semi-trucks, pickup trucks, vans, jeeps, motorcycles, cars, and many of them were towing a bunch of fun in the back. Quads, jet skis, you name it. And they were flying. And I was terrified. This was the most frightened I had ever been on a bike. And I've cycled in countless places, countless miles. I was not digging Colorado. Rocky Mountain High? I don't think so. I was holding on to my handlebars for dear life. And I really thought, this could be it. Someone's going to hit me on this road. The plan for meeting Andrew was this. He was going to drive from Boulder to Breckenridge. After doing a night shift, he's an ER doctor. So he did his whole night shift, drove out to Breckenridge, and he was going to pedal up to meet me, and we would pedal into Breckenridge. In New York, where I'm from, we have a name for guys like Andrew. He is a mensch. Here he is. He worked all night. He drove out from his home. He probably wants to take a nice rest and gets on his bike to meet me. And the thought of that, as I was going through my terror, terrified me even more. My thinking was, okay, if I die here, that's one thing, but I don't want to be responsible for this guy, this mensch, dying as well. So I sent him a text message, which he didn't see, and I said, don't come up here. I'll meet you closer to Breckenridge, and we'll do the bike pass around Breckenridge, which are very nice, I might add. They have a beautiful infrastructure there. Eventually, I saw him because he didn't see that text message, and we rode together. And that actually made things a bit safer because we could take up a little bit more space on the road. And we eventually got into Silverthorne and then Breckenridge. We had a beautiful lunch. We got a nice milkshake. And then later that day, we were able to have a wonderful dinner and a beautiful stay with our friends, Kristen and Terry. But that morning, riding from Kremling to Breckenridge, oh, terrifying. But we had a beautiful meal and a great stay that night. And the next morning, it was up the Hoosier Pass to 11,500 feet, down a screaming descent and into eastern Colorado and eventually Pueblo, which I remember from my childhood because there were commercials back then that shared that if you wanted free government information to send a self-addressed stamped envelope to Pueblo, Colorado. And we learned that that place actually doesn't really exist in the way that we thought it exists. So the rest of Colorado, riding through it, was pleasant. But it definitely did not live up to my expectations, although our visit with Kristen and Terry, top-notch, and Andrew, the mensch, riding with him was fantastic. And this brings us to the lesson I want to share with you in this episode of Open Awareness that was underscored as we rode through Colorado. But before I share it, let's take a moment to pause, breathe, reflect. All right. Let's take a break. Take a full breath in and a slow releasing breath out. And relax the body as you soak up our conversation. Ah, I hope that felt good. Okay. Now that we're a little bit more relaxed, can we be real? I think our morning routines, well, they've gotten a little out of control. You might not have time in the morning to meditate because you're busy doing other things like trying to get to work or getting the kids off to school. And this is where my app, Pause, Breathe, Reflect, comes in because I built it for busy people with a whole bunch of shorter practices. So if you don't have 10 minutes in the morning to meditate, cool beans. You're human after all. But I bet you have 5 times throughout the day when you have 2 minutes to practice and let go of stress and bring mindfulness to your everyday moments. So today, download Pause, Breathe, Reflect for free and begin to stress less, sleep better, and join a community of like-hearted humans rippling something worth rippling into the world. All right, let's go back to our conversation and celebrate the kintsugi within us all. I know you just heard a little promo for Pause, Breathe, Reflect. It's fantastic, although I'll admit I'm a little biased. But one thing I want to underscore is that each week, several times during the week, we come together and we practice meditation in community. And it's also where I do a lot of my teaching to help others live mindfully. And that really brings us to the lesson I want to share with you this week, the value of community. There's an African proverb that goes like this: if you want to go fast, go alone, but if you want to go far, go together. And I believe we have a responsibility to each other to come together. That's what kintsugi is about, coming together, healing, inspiring each other, celebrating our golden symbols of strength, and going far together. When I was in the hospital recovering from my near-death cycling accident that you probably know I call my last bad day, I like to say I help others prevent a bad moment from turning into a bad day. So there I was, broken, hurting, suffering. I was vulnerable and literally almost naked, except for my hospital gown. I needed support, and I discovered 3 types of people. People in my life, in our lives, who I thought would respond and offer support, and they did. And then there were people we knew who I thought would respond and offer support, but they never did. And then there were people I didn't even know, or knew but didn't know that well, and they responded. That middle group, the people who I thought would respond but didn't, man, I was so pissed at them for so long. There I was, this is my thinking, at my lowest point. I just needed some help. And they didn't help me. And I was so mad at them. And I carried that resentment around with me. It was a few rocks in my backpack that were quite heavy. I was thinking, and you think we're friends? Look at me, and you can't show up? I was like, you are dead to me. We're done. They were definitely rocks I placed in my backpack, and I carried those for a long time. Then I realized that they didn't show up, not because they didn't care for me. They just didn't know how to show up. Or they didn't want to see someone they cared about in such a state. They didn't know how to process it. So they stayed away. But I didn't know that. I didn't know the reason. Until later, I had to tap into forgiveness in order to heal and remove those rocks in my backpack so I could move forward. I share this with you because as I was planning the trip, so many people said, let me know where you are and I'll come out and I'll ride with you. I'll show up for you. But they didn't, except for Andrew. The younger version of me would have been pissed off at them. That version of me early on in my recovery in the hospital. But I realize today that people don't show up for a variety of different reasons. So I try not to judge. And as I do, I celebrate those who do show up, like Andrew. So my unsolicited coaching to you is this: be the type of person who shows up because you have wonderful energy that someone needs. It's the energy of connection. It's the energy of healing. It's the energy of celebration. We all need it. We all have energy that's meant to ripple into each other. So today, I don't give much of my energy away for people who say they're going to show up but don't. They don't show up for whatever reason. It's about them, and I don't make it about me. And when I do that, I have more energy to offer the people who do show up in my life, like Andrew and Kristen and Terry and the countless people that showed up when we were going through the early parts of my recovery. My story is not a solo sage on the stage story. I'm only here because of countless people who showed up. Of course, starting with my wife, who is just incredible and was incredible back then. So be the person who shows up in someone's life. Your energy matters. And as we think about showing up, one concept that I want to bring forward is really understanding who's in your peloton, which is a group of cyclists in a bike race, like the Tour de France. That peloton, that group of cyclists, they're all on different teams with different objectives for the race. But they work together. They take turns blocking the wind. As some do that, others draft to save energy. They collaborate, they communicate about road hazards and directions. They go far, and they actually go fast together. So one question I'd love to ask people is this: who is in your peloton? One morning when I was in the hospital, my medical team was around. The doctors, the fellows, the interns, the nurses. There may have been about 15 people there. When they left, I turned to my wife and I said, "They're like my medical peloton. They're helping me get down the road a bit faster so I can go further." And it's the same way in life. We go far together. It's important to be in a peloton that brings out the best in you, and you bring out the best in them. And the best pelotons are diverse. They're inclusive. There's safety and bravery and courage and belonging and all that jazz. I believe a great peloton is made up of people who can help clarify things for you when you get stuck. They're the type of person that can really be a great sounding board or will ask you a brilliant question. There are other members of the peloton that will really challenge you to get you outside your comfort zone, that might help you shift your perspective on something, to create a little tension, if you will. There's also people in your peloton that can offer you comfort, maybe when you're feeling sad or worried. There might be someone in your peloton that can really be there when you're having a crisis, like I did all those years ago. And it's good to have people in your peloton that will celebrate with you, who will celebrate you. They'll have this feeling of mudita, which is appreciative joy. So those roles, I believe, make up a really strong peloton. And this was the value of riding through Colorado. Underscoring this lesson. To be the person who shows up for others. And the importance of riding in a really great Peloton. Having people in your life that support you and you support them. That's how we go far together. That's how we connect. That's how we heal. And those people in your Peloton don't all have to think alike. As you've heard me talk about in past episodes, I believe this moment calls for us to be like-hearted, looking to be in community with like-heartedness. That's what our Kintsugi community and our Pause, Breathe, Reflect community is all about. Rather than being in a community of like-mindedness, our like-mindedness in this pursuit of it has gotten us into this jam that we're currently in and has divided us. What we need, I believe what we thirst for, is like-heartedness. So we come from a good place in our heart, a place of love and kindness and compassion and empathy, and that opens us up to different perspectives or different mindedness. And a good Peloton will have that. It'll have like-heartedness. And people in it will be open to different mindedness. So I hope you enjoyed our little ride through Colorado. It's a wonderful state. I love it. My oldest daughter is moving there. But boy, that section from Kremling to Breckenridge, I hope I never have to ride my bike on that section of road as long as I live. I really appreciate you staying with us and being part of our like-hearted community here. The world needs your energy, so keep rippling something worth rippling in it. And next month, I'll bring you into Kansas and all the wonderful stories and all the wonderful lessons we gained from riding through another wonderful state in this beautiful country.